Well, folks, I have some news. I've been putting it off for a little while now, but a lot of thought has gone into it. And I just, yeah, I think it's time. It's time to introduce you to our new intro song and video for the Recruit Grind. So buckle up, because this is going to be a wild year. Welcome back, and big shout out to Ruben for putting that video together for me. Ruben is with Inspire Media Productions. He drove all around Texas with me to get all those shots, and it was awesome. I highly recommend you go to Ruben. If you're looking for some creative video or production, the dude can get it done. I'm pretty sure I'll never find a drone pilot better than him, probably anywhere. So, and you could probably see why, because that was unbelievable. And if you're not watching this on a video platform of some sorts, I put it all on Athletes TV. You need to go check it out because it's amazing. I may even post it on Instagram, so you can go check it out there. But it would be a shame of me also if I didn't shout out McKay Pett at Wingpoint Studios as well. He was the maker of my previous intro video, probably one of the most talented guys with a camera, and you should go check out his Instagram and you'll see why I say that. But again, that's Wingpoint Studios. And yeah, check them out on Instagram. So today, let's talk NIL. Before you go running away or turning off, I'm going to take an interesting spin on this topic. I'm not worried about the biggest deal out there or who's projected to get the biggest deal. I want to speak to the many who hardly get any deals. Before we get started, there's a couple things that I want to cover. Some of them you may remember from previous podcasts we have done, but for the sake of this episode, we are going to cover a bit of the history and development of NIL over time. Then we are going to get into how current college athletes and some high school athletes, depending on what state you are in, can make money on their NIL. So to start off, NIL stands for Name, Image, and Likeness. On July 1st, 2021, athletes at the college level were granted freedom to begin making money off of their name, image, and likeness. I remember this happening. And when it did, every one of these athletes thought, I don't care who you are, don't joke yourself, they all thought you're going to be a millionaire. Unfortunately, the majority of athletes are still broke as a joke. And that is because in order for athletes to make money, they still got to work for it. But a vast majority of athletes barely have enough time for the demands of their school and their sport. So making more time to chase endorsement deals or sponsorship deals, that's just a daunting task. So when you have athletes that cannot make money for themselves, what do you think happens? Somewhat of a rhetorical question. What do you actually think happens? And I'm pretty sure you could guess it. People start helping, quote unquote, helping make money for them. Now, among the first of those helpers were platforms like Influencer, Cameo, and another one that actually was awesome. I'll take the quotes away from helpers because it was awesome, was ConnectNIL, but that's no longer. And belonged to a former guest on here, which is Bronson Kafusi. So super cool platform. But anyways, there are a few others that got involved with NIL as well. and another one of those were agents. But all of these platforms and agents were all finding ways to make money for the athletes, but also get a little cheddar for themselves. The funny part of all of this is that when the NCAA was forced to loosen the reins on NIL, they came out and said, all of you institutions are on your own. The only real no-no is athletes cannot get paid to play. That was in quotations, just so you know, and you heard me right. And I'll end that comment there. So each institution had to make their own policy on NIL and or rely on the laws of whatever state that they are in. So now that the institutions can't make money for their athletes either, maybe some still do it, I don't know, but the number one cheddar maker was born. Collectives. What is a collective, you ask? A collective is a group of individuals, usually donors, it could be fans, sometimes businesses, and the collective sets out to raise money on behalf of the athletes at a specific institution. They are not, or they're not supposed to, be affiliated with the institution. Wink, wink. A collective raises the money on behalf of the student athletes and has to find ways to distribute that money back to the athletes. The original thought on how a collective could get money back to the student athlete, and honestly how most of these collectives were formed, is by creating a nonprofit organization classified by the IRS as a 501c3 or a 501c3, which is what's more commonly known as. But here's the catch. Technically speaking, the money cannot just be given to the athletes, because in the eyes of the IRS, giving money to an athlete is not a charitable cause. So, as you can imagine, smart people with law degrees and tons of experience with IRS and state laws, they have been able to find loopholes around the IRS's rules. I've actually had a long-standing prediction with this, the whole NIL thing and collectives, and it's probably a little bit of a hot take, but I believe at some point NIL is going to go back into the hands of the school. And instead of collectives acquiring and handling the funds, institutions will either assign their own staff members to acquire and manage and delegate those funds, or a multimedia rights holder will step in. And I know what you're thinking. What is a multimedia rights holder? Well, I'm going to put it simply. Let's take you back to the last college sporting event that you went to. I'm sure you noticed signs around the arena that were promoting businesses. And at some point, you probably saw somebody shoot a half-court shot for $100,000 or kick a field goal for a free gym pass. Someone has to sell all those sponsorships to businesses. And it's just like you, the high school player, that has to sell banners in your stadium to raise money for your sports program. However, most college programs choose to sell their rights to a multimedia rights holder instead of doing it themselves. And among these multimedia rights holders are companies like IMG Learfield, and one of my personal favorites, Van Wagner Sports and Entertainment. The multimedia rights holder selected by the school now has to sell all that marketing and sponsorship space on behalf of the school. The multimedia rights holder then splits the money earned, some for the school and some, yes, you guessed it, for themselves. However, I'm not here to tell you all you need to know about the legalities of collectives and agents and all of these other skimmers. I want to give current athletes, both high school in some states and college players, 10 ways to build your brand and then how to make money off of it. So when I talk brand, I'm not talking Nike, Adidas, even those are very strong brands. But and even a couple of my favorite, One Bone, hence the shirt. I love it. And even Under Armour Project Rock line. Rock. I'm still waiting for size 16 shoes. I haven't seen any yet. And I would buy them, but they're not big enough. What I'm talking about is specific to your brand. Building your brand. Building up and making known your persona. Who are you? What is your story, and why does it make you more unique than the teammate next to you? The most important question to always keep in mind: why should this company care to be affiliated with you? You can actually cover questions like that by building your brand. So let's dive in. Number one, define your unique brand identity. This is pretty straightforward. Identify what sets you apart, your values, your interests, your strengths. Your brand should reflect who you are both on and off the field. Businesses want to associate with athletes that have good values and great character. Number two, develop a strong social media presence. Now, is this an absolute necessity? You have to have social media? No. I know there are some people that prefer not to have it. However, if you want to accelerate your brand awareness, meaning people actually know who you are, you should be on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, TikTok, and you should be engaging with fans and showcasing your personality. Tell your story. Talk about your achievements. Share your day-to-day life. And then do your best to put things out on a continual basis. But probably most important, be authentic in your posts. Authenticity in your posts are key. People want to associate with who you are. And if you fake who you are, eventually it's going to be hard to keep up that act. So be you. Number three, create high quality content. Share content that adds value to people's lives. So whether it's training tips, motivational stories, insights into your sports routine, your personal interests, share it. Some athletes may focus on a specific niche, which is fine. But if you diversify your content to appeal to a broader audience, you will reach a lot further. Number four, engage with your audience. And this is one that I've actually been working on personally myself more and more. But respond to comments, participate in Q&A sessions, create interactive content to build a loyal community. The more people can engage with you, the more likely they are to stick around and share you. Number five, seek media opportunities. This is an interesting one for me, and I'll explain why towards the end. But interviews, podcasts, guest appearances, all those things can increase your visibility and help you reach a wider audience. I've reached out personally to multiple athletes saying, hey, I would love to have you on the podcast. And some choose not to message me back. I kind of get it. If they have like a really large following already, that makes sense. But if you are currently like just getting started, come on now. Take the opportunities. Seek those media opportunities out. Number six, participate in community service. Setting up and being involved with community services events is honestly one of the most impactful things that I ever did in college sports. One of my favorite times was an opportunity when I was working at the University of Oregon, where we teamed up with Courts for Kids, which is a program that takes groups from organizations out to foreign countries to build sports courts in rural communities. So it was an awesome experience, man. It was super awesome. The athletes that participated in that experience honestly had a tremendous amount of personal growth during that time. And the side effect of that growth is that now they have a unique experience that makes them a better person and therefore more marketable. So a big takeaway here, your involvement in charitable events or community service projects can positively shape your public image and show a commitment to causes that you care about. Stuff businesses love. Number 7, be consistent and professional. Maintain a professional image in public appearances. What's the point of going to a community service event if you're just going to sit there texting on your phone the entire time and not help? There's no point. Also, you should be professional online. Be mindful of what you tweet, what you retweet. Again, businesses may not want to associate with you based on the things that you are putting out on social platforms. So consistency in the messaging and behavior of your brand will help build trust and credibility. Number 8, protect your reputation. Be mindful of what you post and how it reflects on your brand. Avoid controversies that could harm your image. And I'm going to say it, be careful who you associate with. Don't let others ruin your brand. Don't put yourself in situations where someone could tarnish your brand. And in the words of the old days when I was going through school, just say no. Number 9, network and collaborate. Have you ever heard the phrase, your network is your net worth? I sure hope you have. And if you haven't, now you have. Connect with other athletes. Connect with influencers. Connect with coaches. Connect with brands. Collaborations can introduce you to new audiences and open up opportunities not currently available with your audience. 10. And this one, honestly, is by far, in my opinion, the most important one. Leverage your sport performance. Let me explain it simply. If you do not show up on the field or the court or the arena or the mat, you will be missing out. You will be missing out on your greatest opportunity to show your brand. You build your brand by balling out. You need to leverage your performance on your field of play. Now that you have built your brand out, I'm going to give you a couple ways to make money on it. First thing you're going to do is create a list of all the businesses surrounding your school. I would also advise you to list out all the businesses that were around your high school from wherever you came from. Restaurants, movie theaters, law firms, insurance agencies, home improvement stores, grocery stores, banks. The list goes on and on and on. First, find the main contacts for those businesses. The owner, the CEO, the president, the founder, the chief marketing officer, or otherwise known as CMO. Find someone in that company that can make decisions. Come up with ideas. This is the next part of this. Come up with ideas as to how you can grow their business. So to speak in more business-like terminology, you are going to be asking them to invest their money in you. What will their return on investment be? Or more commonly known as ROI. I have a couple ideas, and I'm going to share them. You can take them or not. And this is more ideas of just how to make money. But if you have a strong following, you could simply pitch them on paying you to post a co-branded meaning you as a brand and their company as a brand, on a social media post. Super simple. You've probably seen that several times before. Or here is an idea I literally thought of right before we started this podcast. If I put myself back in those shoes, would go back to an owner of a local car wash. And I would say, well, first of all, let's say the owner's name is Steve. I would say, Steve, my name is Naki. I play football for Texas State University. I would like to talk to you about a unique lead generation opportunity that will help you drive business into the car wash. Steve would say, well, let's hear it. And I would say, well, what are some of your slowest days during the week? Well, Naki, Mondays seem to be the slowest. Perfect, Steve. As an athlete at the university, I have developed a great brand for myself. I have quite a few followers in the community. Picture this. Someone drives by and sees a sign that says, let Texas State O-lineman Naki knock that dirt off your car. Every Monday, I could come by for a few hours and spray down cars. And in return, you can pay me 40% for every car that comes in during that time. Now, in this example, you bring the value of your brand, your following, your network, and the value of your association with the local college and football program to the owner. And it gives the owner a vision of how working with you drives business to him, and how investing revenue from the car wash into you creates an ROI. Now, 40% is probably a bit excessive, but shoot for the moon, baby, and you'll land on the stars. Now that you have that list of businesses, you have their contacts, and you have some ideas on how to pitch them, on how you can help them grow, pick up your phone and start dialing. Here's another idea that I don't see enough of. Get together with some teammates. Offer up a summer camp for kids in the community. And to spread the word, market the camps by blasting it out on your social media pages. Ask followers and your friends and your family to share. I would also go ask the institution to engage with it. Go to your football program, whoever controls the social media in your football program, and say, hey, can you push this post out? Can you just retweet it or like it on Instagram or put it on your story, something. I don't think there's any major rules around that. No problem with a company supporting their athletes. But if that's the case, maybe you need to find another institution. I don't think there's an actual rule behind that. But to be completely honest with you, community members, they should be lining up at the door for that opportunity. And there's probably tons of people that know you within your network that would love to learn from a current college athlete. Now, be mindful. Some institutions, if you do this, they won't let you use their facilities. So you may have to find a public setting or pay for a local gym or pay the institution itself to use the facilities that are there. Another idea. How about you create a merchandise line? Get a design for a shirt, push the design out on social media, and go door to door in the community and say, hey, my name is Naki. I play football for the university. I'm selling shirts. Would you be willing to buy one? Get their sizes and a prepayment. Then go get the shirts made. Then, and the most important part, deliver. If you don't deliver, no one will ever buy shirts from you ever again. And there's a chance you may even get sued $20 for the shirt, but who knows? Okay, a few final notes for you here and things that I think you should be aware of. Be mindful of your school's stance on using their logos and marks for your own benefit. I haven't seen this personally yet, but I'm wondering why more schools don't allow athletes to license school logos and marks, which is another prediction I had a while back, where I think schools will begin to allow athletes to use their logos and their marks as long as the school gets a little cut for themselves. And there's power behind using the school marks. If you are a college athlete listening, I'm going to challenge you to poke around and find out if you can use your school's marks. It's worth a shot. You never know. Also, be mindful of any policies that your school has put in place. Just go ask if you don't know. For most programs, they want you to succeed. So they will ensure you that you are doing all the things the right way to ensure that you're getting the money that you deserve. And this last one, honestly, one thing that I've seen a few times, and I kind of talked about it with the camps, but I don't see it enough times, is teammates or teams or even multiple athletes on different sports teams at the same institution partnering up with each other to do this, to make money together. We all know teamwork makes the dream work. In this case, teamwork makes potentially a lot of money. Honestly, last but not least, if you are a college athlete or even a high school athlete and you need some help with your NIL, I got you. Reach out. I've actually helped college athletes with deals before, and I would love to help athletes maximize those opportunities again. So, that all said, I'm out. Go make money, baby. Love you guys.